This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, July 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. The issues of same-sex marriage in Colorado took an interesting turn this week. Jake Ryan has more.
The Tenth Circuit recently ruled that Utah's ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. That prompted a lawsuit on behalf of six Coloradan couples challenging the Colorado State Amendment banning gay marriage. Wednesday, the Colorado Attorney General John Suthers made a motion in federal court to halt all proceedings for that lawsuit. He wants the court to wait until the U.S. Supreme Court reviews the Tenth Circuit Court's decision. At the same time, the defendants, including Suthers and Governor Hickenlooper, have chosen not to defend the case. This is one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs, Mari Newman.
It's a very political and cynical way to go about it, to on the one hand concede that Colorado's laws are unconstitutional and then try to get the court to order that it's all right to continue to enforce unconstitutional laws. I mean, that just doesn't make any kind of sense. It's using these same-sex families as pawns in a political game instead of according them the fundamental right to marriage that is available to every American. Every day that these families are not allowed to marry is a day that they're treated as second-class citizens and that their children are treated as second-class citizens.
Newman and the other attorneys filed a motion for an emergency hearing, which could have everyone in court early next week. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The latest development in the issue over State Senator Steve King's time cards will be new investigators. King has been fired from the Mesa County Sheriff's Department over time card discrepancies days before the Republican primary. Former Sheriff Stan Hilke now works for the Department of Public Safety and had authority over the investigation. Because of his involvement in the case, the investigation has now been handed off to an unbiased third party, the DA from Colorado's 18th District. That's Arapahoe, Elbert, Douglas, and Lincoln counties. The U.S. unemployment rate is the lowest it's been since September 2008. KVNF's Laura Palmisano has more.
The nation's unemployment rate fell to 6.1% in June. It was the fifth consecutive month that U.S. employers added more than 200,000 jobs. Colorado's unemployment rate is lower than the national figure. The state's unemployment rate was 5.8% in May. Colorado's unemployment rate for June will be released later this month. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Energy Fuels, one of the nation's biggest uranium producers, just announced a large sell-off. The Pinyon Ridge Mill and other mines and projects along the Colorado-Utah border will be sold to a private investor group and the Energy Fuels ex-president. The price of everything will be around $2 million. Uranium prices have plummeted in recent years. It's now half of what it was before the reactor leak in Fukushima, Japan, which cut demand and prices. The historic September 2013 flood reshaped waterways across Colorado's Northern Front Range, making major changes in both the man-made and natural environments. Over the past 10 months, homeowners, planners, and policymakers have grappled with difficult decisions over where and how to rebuild and when to let Mother Nature take her new course. As part of Connecting the Drops, our series on Colorado water issues, Sam Fuqua reports on the rebuilding process in one of the hardest-hit counties.
Along Apple Valley Road in Lyons, the sound of heavy equipment competes with the rush of North St. Vrain Creek, full of spring runoff. Phyllis Casey is watching the demolition of her home.
It took 18 months to build and 3.5 hours to tear down. It's pretty sad.
The creek ran behind her home until last September, when it overflowed its banks, flooded the house, and ended up carving a new channel on the other side.
The night of the flood, I had to walk out with my cats and my daughters. It was waist deep, and I really didn't know that we were going to be walking through a river. We just thought the river behind us flooded. Till we got out in the middle of it, I got knocked down by a tree. We realized the river is now in front of the house.
About 100 yards from Casey's home is another house. The two used to be on opposite sides of the creek. Now they're on the same side. This home survived mostly intact. Boulder County senior land use planner Brian Harding says that's because the builders buried heavy columns, like dock piers, deep into the ground.
It was the pier construction of this that really saved this house. So those piers went down to bedrock. So when the water eventually impacted this house, it actually got under the basement level, but that allowed this house to essentially stay intact. The water didn't push this house over.
The creek bank that now runs in front of both properties is being fortified by the county in partnership with the state and the Federal Natural Resource Conservation Service. One of the things they've done is bury tree stumps horizontally with their roots sticking out into the water. Julie McKay manages Boulder County's Comprehensive Creek Planning Initiative project.
Those are called root wads, and that is a natural technique for stabilizing the stream bank and to some degree managing flow.
The September flood caused major rerouting in two of the county's seven creek drainages. And McKay says whether or not to leave creeks flowing in their new post-flood locations is one of the critical long-term decisions facing the county. Another key question is how much to spend on rebuilding infrastructure. For example, the county could try to build very expensive, almost indestructible bridges. Julie McKay.
Is that something that collectively we want to pay for and can pay for? Or do we have to say, you know, we're going to tolerate that risk? We're going to protect ourselves at a level that we think's reasonable and safe for the public, but we're not necessarily going to, for example, build the road that will never wash out again.
To help answer those questions, the Creek Initiative Project will develop master plans for each of the county's seven major creek drainages. They're holding public forums this summer. McKay says bringing all stakeholders together is top priority.
Whether you're a property owner who has frontage on the creek, whether you're a public agency who has responsibilities for infrastructure, whether you're a fisher person who wants to go out on the St. Vrain and fish, we all have motivation to come together around these issues.
But the future is already known for some of the people most directly impacted by the flood. Homeowner Phyllis Casey says she found out in May that because North St. Vrain Creek's new channel puts her property much deeper into the floodplain, rebuilding is almost impossible.
You know, we would have moved back away from the river and up, and that's what we wanted to do, but it's not possible, so we have to move on. We have to start thinking about something else.
She watches as the last of her home is demolished. Then a backhoe gets close to a favorite tree.
Boy, I hope they can save that blue spruce over there. My cat's buried under it. It's kind of at an angle. It still looks alive.
Boulder County staff say they don't know exactly how many homeowners were impacted by changing creek flows, but when their Creek Initiative master planning process is completed this fall, the county and private property owners will have a roadmap for rebuilding. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio and Connecting the Drops, I'm Sam Fuqua.
Connecting the Drops is a year-long collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio stations and the Colorado Foundation for Water Education, with support from the City of Longmont. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org.
Up next, it's Western Slope Skies with the Pluto controversy, followed by Alan and the Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Be kind and safe this holiday.